From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Alaska Permanent Fund may not have enough cash to pay out permanent fund dividends and pay for state government at some point in the next decade. Permanent Fund Board met in Fairbanks this week and heard from Greg Allen. He's head of Callan, a company that advises the board. The problem could happen if there are poor results from fund investments like stocks.
This is really what stresses the system, is multiple bad years in a row.
And Allen estimates the earnings reserve has a 15% chance of running out of money in at least 1 year over the next decade. That's a problem because the earnings reserve is the only part of the permanent fund that money can be paid out of. If that account runs out of money, the ability to pay to support the state budget would be in jeopardy. Permanent fund dividends also would be in trouble. It's not just bad years that could cause problems. Allen also says the odds of running out of money would go up if the state draws too much out. Board Chair Craig Richards says the board should recommend steps to head off the risk to the Earnings Reserve Account, or ERA.
But we're in a dynamic where we need to be challenging the status quo, and we need to be thinking about, are there better ways to do things that reduce this probability of an ERA collapse?
The board plans to make recommendations that could affect the Earnings Reserve at its next meeting in the middle of February. Alaska has been awarded a $35.8 million federal grant to support earthquake disaster recovery efforts. KTVA reports the Department of Housing and Urban Development awarded the grant in response to the damaging quake that struck South Central Alaska in November 2018. Officials say the HUD Community Development Block Grant Disaster Recovery Program helps communities rebuild after natural disasters and prepare for future ones. Officials say this is the first time Alaska has received funds through the program. Alaskans impacted by the 7.1 magnitude earthquake have already received nearly $130 million through the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Small Business Association. A private business has proposed building a new marine haulout in Sitka in exchange for 17 acres of city-owned waterfront ideal for mooring cruise ships. The deal was well received by the board of Sitka's industrial park at its latest meeting on Wednesday and by the large number of Sitka's commercial fishing fleet who attended. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Around 50 or 60 people are packed into a small meeting room in Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall to hear the details of a deal that has the potential to break a troubling economic logjam in the community. This is Chris McGraw, owner of Halibut Point Marine.
We're proposing a trade in which we would provide a brand new 100-ton travel lift, construct the infrastructure for the haul-out pier, the washdown pad, and the treatment system in exchange for that property.
Halibut Point Marine operates Sitka's only commercial travel lift, an 88-ton machine, at their yard, which is also the site of the company's cruise ship dock. Business at the cruise dock is booming, and McGraw has announced he'll be closing his boatyard in 2021, leaving Sitka's huge commercial fleet with nowhere to haul out. Just north of the cruise dock are 17 acres of undeveloped city land. In a letter to the administration dated November 27, McGraw offered to build the city a new haul out at Sitka's industrial park, including a new 100-ton travel lift and washdown pad, in exchange for those 17 acres. Before McGraw returned to his seat, Sitka Assemblymember Tor Christensen asked if Halibut Point would not just build the new haulout, but also bid on a contract to run it. McGraw said no, he was going to concentrate on his cruise ship business. Christensen did not want to let the opportunity get away.
I mean, I agree that we would rather have a third party run it, but if for whatever reason we can't do that, the city could do it, and it could probably at least break even.
With no ready capital, the park's board has been looking at putting together projects piecemeal, including a haulout and shipyard. McGraw's offer sidesteps that financial barrier and propels the board into a different set of problems. Namely, if we build it, will they come? With the floor open for public testimony, Saner Kai Only Miller said a shipyard was about much more than having a travel lift.
Yeah, it almost seems equally important to assess like how many vendors would be able to potentially wanting to move in here, because even if we have a top-notch lift and nobody wanting to work out there on boats, people are still going to go to Wrangell and other places to get their work done.
There was consensus in the room that any planning around the haulout would have to consider making leased space available for all the trades that service boats, and even indoor areas to work on boats out of the weather. Longtime Sitka troller Charlie Wilbur saw a win-win in McGraw's deal, one for the present and one for the future.
The fishermen need a place to haul their boats up. My boat insurance insists I haul out once a year. So I either do it here or I got to run 17 hours to wrangle, benefit their economy. But what I really think, this could be one of the biggest economic drivers that we've seen in a long time. And, you know, if a town like Wrangell, I mean, basically they resurrected the town when they put in this shipyard.
The drawings included in McGraw's proposal show the 100-ton travel lift operating on a haul-out pier 26 feet wide, large enough to accommodate over 90% of the boats in Sitka's harbors. Several fishermen thought that going bigger, up to 150 tons, made more sense, but the $1.5 million in added expense did not pencil out with the land exchange. Lee Hansen, whose company just acquired the former utility dock at the park, said he thought 100 tons was the right size, the sweet spot, for Sitka, but he did have one Debbie Downer observation, as he put it. Compared to Wrangell, he said, Sitka was expensive and difficult to do business in. He described Wrangell as more of a frontier town that gets it done. Assemblymember Tor Christensen pushed back.
And I just looked it up. Wrangell's sales tax is 7% and their property tax is 12.5%. It's over twice as high as ours. So I think the cost of doing business here, I mean, compared to Wrangell, you know, especially if we can, we have the land to kind of facilitate services coming in, this is a great first step. And, you know, we can't let perfect be the enemy of done.
Mo Johnson concurred with that last point. He told the board that he recently had spent a lot of money repowering his troller and making other repairs. He said the cost of not doing this project is substantial. The board voted unanimously to recommend the project to the Sitka Assembly as proposed, with the addition of another washdown pad, a finger float to stage boats headed into the haulout, and a walkway for crew members disembarking from vessels in the slings. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
PetroStar is poised to begin transporting fuel by rail between Anchorage and Fairbanks. Arctic Slope Regional Corporation subsidiary operates refineries in North Pole and Valdez, and PetroStar Vice President of Business Development Mark John says a new storage facility and rail terminal at the Port of Anchorage will facilitate the movement of fuels by trains instead of trucks around the state.
Our product will come from Valdez via barge over to Anchorage, so stored in tanks there, and then it'll be put on to rail cars.
John says gasoline and ultra-low sulfur diesel will be moved north to Fairbanks, while jet fuel from the company's North Pole refinery is railroaded south. Tesoro's Nikiski refinery is the state's only gasoline producer, but John says PetroStar competes by importing the product from a Shell refinery in Washington.
The state's been looking at that for a long time. It's always a big complaint. Why isn't there a second gasoline supplier? So that's what we become. So a little different way to do it, but it works.
John would not discuss potential consumer price level impacts of rail transporting some of the gasoline for sale in the Fairbanks market, but expressed general optimism.
It's a better deal kind of for everyone. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that.
John anticipates that PetroStar's new Port of Anchorage rail terminal will begin loading trains sometime in the next 60 to 90 days. A man from the North Slope town of Kektovik has agreed to plead guilty to killing a polar bear without harvesting any of its meat, which is a violation of the Marine Mammal Protection Act. Chris Gordon will accept a maximum prison sentence of 4 months and pay a fine of $4,500. That's according to a plea agreement filed today. The spokeswoman for the Anchorage-based prosecutors declined to comment, and Gordon's attorney didn't immediately respond to phone and email messages. Kektovik, on Barter Island in the Beaufort Sea coast, has become an increasingly popular destination for tourists. They pay thousands of dollars to watch polar bears that eat scraps of whale meat left near the village after Kektovik's annual subsistence harvest. White Mountain on the Seward Peninsula has been without regular postal service since late October when their postmaster left her position. All first-class mail for the community is being held in Nome until further notice. So far, the U.S. Postal Service has put temporary measures in place, but no full-time staff member has filled the postmaster position for White Mountain. KNOM's Joe Coleman has this report from a community still waiting to receive their mail.
Residents like Dorothy Barr, White Mountain's tribal coordinator, are feeling the pressure.
Especially with Christmas coming, you know, people will be ordering Christmas presents, but thankfully we have Ryanair.
Amazon packages on cargo planes are the only pieces of mail getting into White Mountain right now. Another main concern is over PFDs and money orders that have still not arrived, which especially affects elders without debit cards. Mayor Dan Harrelson explains just what that means.
It's frustrating for folks because, you know, people are waiting on bills to come in. They're waiting for checks to come in, Social Security checks. Permanent fund checks were finally, some of them were distributed here when the itinerant workers came in. But, you know, people have groceries coming in.
On top of that, anyone who receives their bills in the mail instead of electronically has not been able to receive them in a timely manner. This means that things like child support payments and credit card bills cannot be sent or received, forcing potential delinquency and late fees. Without a specific point of contact with the United States Postal Service, there is confusion in White Mountain about the timeline for when the new hires will arrive. Some residents have been told that there will be postal workers coming in from surrounding communities weekly. However, inclement weather has made that difficult. In an emailed statement, U.S. spokesman in Alaska Brian Sperry said, quote, "Weather permitting, we will continue to have an employee from another post office fly to White Mountain at least once a week to distribute mail and provide retail services until the staffing situation is resolved," end quote. Sperry also mentioned that USPS has hired two new workers who will be in White Mountain sometime during December, and the Postal Service is actively looking to hire more employees in the community. Sperry did not mention whether those two new workers would be full-time. Mayor Harrelson says the USPS has not been actively communicating with the community, causing anxiety, and no clear timeline has been conveyed to them.
We haven't contacted the village, as far as I'm aware of, directly. Several residents of White Mountain call the Postal Service and ask them what's going on and how come we can't get a itinerant worker in here or get our mail sorted, but the Postal Service hasn't been very outgoing or forthcoming on what's going on.
White Mountain City Clerk Amy Titus has her own concerns with the USPS process.
And I know the post office position only posts it for like 5 days or a week or something. I didn't look into it, but I heard it's only online for 5 days, so I'm really hoping somebody applied.
With the holiday season quickly approaching, White Mountain residents are uncertain if their gifts and packages will arrive in time for Christmas Day. Reporting in White Mountain, I'm Joe Coleman.
And finally, NATO-affiliated researchers say social media companies are failing to stop manipulated activity. They show in a report how they were easily able to buy thousands of likes, comments, and views on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. The researchers said in Friday's report that most of the phony accounts and posts remained online weeks later, even after they flagged them as fake. The findings contrast with statements from major tech companies. They say that they have been working harder on stamping out manipulation, including removing fake accounts and preventing artificial video views. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Friday, December 6th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.